Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
An Israel prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Isn't it amazing for somebody to know the Lord face to face? In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and all his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Talking about Moses. Moses is considered to be the greatest prophet that ever walked on earth by the Jewish people. The Jewish nation now considers him to be the greatest prophet that ever walked on earth. Remember, I'm saying Jewish. He's considered to be the author of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah in Hebrew, or the Pentateuch in Greek. Those first five books you read, Genesis and Exodus and through there, he's considered to be the author of all those books, which many Jews are required to memorize those books, is how much they think of his writings. They are required. You know, we have a hard time with one verse. Jesus wept. But I have found in my life that the more words you get in you, the more words you are memorizing in your life, the more the power you get in your life to walk for God. Amen? So it's a powerful thing. They have them memorized. Not all of them, but many of them that are in leadership positions have to memorize the Torah. In the Christian world, Moses comes in second place to none other than Jesus Christ himself. We consider and we know that Jesus is the greatest prophet that ever walked on this face of earth. But on the face of earth, we also know that Moses was considered very important. A lot of religions other than Christianity will put Jesus in that status as he was a great prophet. But in our belief and our faith, Christ is the only true prophet that was for our Christian belief. But Moses is definitely a very famous prophet. Many people can tell you they know Moses, they know Noah, and Moses is a name. It's a staple that people know in the community of religion. Even those outside of religion have heard of Moses. After all, we've had the shows. And he's definitely very famous in both groups I spoke of, in the Jewish world and also in the Christian world. Moses was truly a success story when it came to a servant of God. A true success story. While serving God, he was used to perform around 40 different types of miracles. 40 different supernatural things around that. The number's not for sure. But did you know Elijah and Elisha, neither one of them performed as many miracles as Moses did. Matter of fact, Elijah outperformed Elijah. Did you know that Christianity is not a competition? And we throw it out there. But the fact is, Moses was used by God in a very powerful way. Very famous man. But he did not perform near as many miracles as Christ performed. The Bible says if he was to write all the works down that Jesus performed, there wouldn't be books big enough for all that he did. But Moses was a great servant of God. He pastored a huge flock, a huge church. He himself had an amazing testimony to where his first 40 years of life, he messed up, he killed an Egyptian, buried him in the sand and it surfaced, and he had to run for his life. And he spent in the desert for 40 years as God's grooming him and shaping him. I don't believe that Moses was just walking around for 40 years. I believe God was having those moments of shaping and forming him into the man that he's going to call at that bush that was burning. That was his second 40 years. And at the age of 80, God calls him into ministry. How many of you want to be called into ministry at the age of 80? Got one. But here he's ready to settle down, retired. He's got his own little sheep he's taking care of. Life's great. He gets up in the morning, takes care of the sheep, water them, come back home. Got his wife's got his supper ready. The recliner's all there. And he's got everything happening. And then God meets him out in the wilderness one day. And there's a bush burning. And he has a message for Moses. He says, I've chose you to go get my people. An amazing testimony that Moses has. And then we know the story of Pharaoh and all this and the plagues that took place as God started to develop Moses even in the midst of that calling. Aaron's his mouthpiece. Moses is who God's using. God had to get him through this whole ideal of not having enough confidence, not feeling qualified. Can I tell you, God can get you to where you feel qualified if you will just but believe him. So all of this was taking place in Moses' life, and sure enough, God made a prophet out of him. A prophet so much that he is famous today. If you read about him and his life story, he had plenty of room to be haughty. He had plenty of room to be prideful. He had plenty of room to say, hey, you talk to my servants. He had all this because he was definitely successful in what he did. I mean, he led the biggest church there was. But Numbers 12:3 says this about Moses. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of earth. Even though great fame, I might have been a little puffed up after I pointed my staff at the Red Sea and watched it part. How about you? I might have started me a Red Sea departing ministry. But all of this was taking place in Moses' life. But the Bible says this man Moses was still a very humble man. We've been preaching about call to produce for the last few Sundays now, and today we will be looking at the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness. There are two synonyms for gentleness in the English language. The first is meekness, which sounds much the same as weakness. The second synonym of gentleness is humility. Gentleness differs from kindness that we spoke of a few Sundays back about, in this way. These two fruits are similar, but gentleness is more of an attitude within where kindness is expressed outward. So when we talk about gentleness, it's something that's inside of us, something that regulates us, something that develops even our personality and how we respond and how we act. This word gentleness. Meek, gentle, and humble, all of these are considered to run hand in hand when you see them in the book or in the Bible. These all run hand in hand. And that's why some translations will use meekness, some translations will use gentleness, and some translations will use humbleness. Some translations uses all of these, and many times they interchange. So we know this much. We can say Moses was a gentle, or we can say he was a meek or a humble man in his walk, in his life. Now you may say gentleness is a sign of weakness. But the fact is, gentleness is strength under control. Gentleness or meekness or humbleness is strength under control. Since one of the synonyms to gentleness is meekness, many confuse that word with weakness. Think about it for a moment. Our beginning text says Moses spoke with God face to face. I thank God that we can go in the Spirit into the throne room of God because of the, the way has been paved with the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice upon the cross, and we can go into the Holy of Holies. But I'm looking forward to the day that we get to actually be in heaven, our faith is in His sight, and we get to see Him on that throne that we've read about. Moses spoke to God face to face. Now you would think about that, just think about that just for a moment. This is a special relationship we had with God. We often talk about people that we know that are in powerful positions. We call that influence, or we may make a phone call to somebody that's able to do something, yet none can top Moses' relationship. Nothing can overshadow that when it says he had conversations with God face to face. Did you know on many occasions throughout Moses' ministry to the children of Israel, they came against him and Aaron time in and time again. Yet he responded in a meek and gentle way. Now hang with me just for a moment. He had favor with God, yet he would intercede for them. If we read the whole story in Numbers chapter 12, we'll find where Moses was humbled, or still humbled, even when Miriam and Aaron came against him. And the reason they came against Moses is they didn't like his wife. They were trying to point out things in his life that were not right. The Bible says she was a woman of very dark skin, and that they weren't approving of his relationship. Now listen, their family is a time that is one of the most difficult times to say, stay gentle. Amen? Anybody with me? Y'all with me? Anybody? It's one of those times in our life that is hard, because how many know family can dig you deep? Or dig on you deep? We find in this moment that here Miriam and Aaron, they're actually saying to Moses, they're saying to him, and they're saying, we're just as important as you are. God speaks to us and all this. And so Moses had the opportunity to respond back to them in just as much power that he's responded to Pharaoh, but yet we find Moses not lifting a word or speaking a word. And we find, if you read the story, that God intervened in the midst of that story. If you know the story, he got on to Miriam and Aaron both. Aaron got in trouble a lot. But God, I always wondered that. Do you ever wonder why Aaron didn't just get slayed sometimes? You know what happened? His brother, who was humble and gentle, he interceded for him every time. That's how favor that Moses had with God. He would pray for him. And so we find this in that relationship. And again, this is happening. Miriam actually just struck with leprosy. And Moses, instead of saying, you deserve that, you got what you needed, sister, maybe you'll learn a lesson, he started to intercede for Miriam. Why? Because Moses had a gentle spirit about him. Oh, did he have power inside? Did he have strength inside? Did he have the ability to do something about it? Yes, he did. But yet he chose to let the gentle spirit to go forth. He loved Miriam. He loved Aaron. They were part of his family. And therefore, he didn't respond back. You know, when Jesus was up on the cross, is an amazing story. Matthew 26:53 says this, or do you think I cannot pray? Jesus said, pray to my Father and he will provide with me more than 12 legions of angels. What's Christ saying? Do you not think that I have the power within me to call upon my Father and he provide me 12 legions of angels? That's 72,000 angels. Who had that power? The man that was going to be on the cross. The man that had been beaten. The man that had been spit on. The man that had been literally whipped, ripping the hide off his back. This man had the power within him to call all heaven down. And believe me, it would have been something to watch. But our loving Savior was on that cross with all that power inside of him, and he was kind and gentle and loving. You know, sometimes the hardest time for us to be gentle is when people are opposing us. The hardest time to be gentle is when things are not going correctly. And we find that the Lord at that moment, you know what he said in Luke 22? We read this from this one that had all that power to be able to do whatever he wanted to do on the cross. We watch some movies, you know, the supernatural power. Our Savior has it. And what does he say in Luke 22? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He said it in a gentle, loving spirit to the very ones that had just beat him half to death. What an amazing thought to have that type of spirit in us, that type of gentleness in our hearts. Stephen, when he was being stoned, the Bible says he had a face of an angel. My wife's told me that. Just kidding. But when he was being stoned, literally the enemy was taking him out one stone at a time. He had a good connection with God, but yet he chose to have a gentle spirit at that very moment. Let me ask you this morning, an illustration. Have you ever wanted to flatten, put down, or squash somebody lately? You feel the person had it coming for a long time and your patience has run out? Listen to this story. The classroom became steamy as the heated debate grew increasingly intense. The professor was a meek-looking sort of fella, short in stature, but long on patience. The arguing student had the boldness to try and to prove the mild-mannered professor wrong. Brains were not a gift of this particular student for two reasons. One, he had all the facts about the subject mixed up and he was just flat out wrong. Two, he was challenging a man who was a leading authority in the field. Finally, having heard enough, the professor spoke sharply, "I know enough about this subject to blow you out of the water." The class sat in absolute silence, waiting for the pen to drop. Then in a soft voice, the professor humbly apologized to the class for his outburst. "I had no right to say what I said." See, what the professor said that day spoke volumes, picturing exactly what God expresses from his followers, expects from his followers. God wants followers who are gentle, followers who have mastered the art of strength under control. Strength under control. Being able to hold things in a gentle way. And many of y'all know my old pastor, or I've had him preach a couple of times. His name is Walter Greaser. He's went on to be with the Lord a few years back. But I had the privilege of sitting under him and being mentored by him. And you talk about two guys that had two different personalities, him and I did. But I appreciate what he taught me. I have never met a more gentle man in my life than Brother Walter Greaser. In the years that I was mentored by him, I was privy to things going on in the church, even to some of that that were not happy with him. I was privy to those situations. And me, when I look back, I was more like a Peter under his mentorship. I would say, "Let's go, let's get it." He said, "Brother, let's settle down. Let's stay calm." I think, "You're not getting it, Brother Greaser." But this man had such a gentle spirit about him that he was always responding to everything that came against him in a gentle, loving way. And I think about him today and how wonderful it was that I was able to sit under his ministry. Over and over, I witnessed this type of reply. And over again, in many different occasions of his life. Some thought it was weakness when he would not respond in anger toward them. Some thought it was weakness when he would not just open up and let things rip. But what I found, that what he possessed ended up to be a proven strength time in and time again in every situation that came against him. That God did amazing things. See, it was within the strength of all these things that he rendered the situation differently. When we have that strength of gentleness into us, we could have rendered the situation different every time, but when gentleness is there and applied, God enters in. It's this fruit that I'm talking about this morning, that fruit of gentleness that comes into our lives and our hearts, that when things come, we should respond with. Moses' gentleness did not keep him from being bold for the Lord. Even though he was a gentle man, it didn't keep him from being bold for the Lord. Exodus 32:20 tells us of this story. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Who is this? We're talking about the humblest man there was on the planet Earth, the gentleman. He'd been on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord. The Lord says, get down, for your people are doing all this. And, oh, no, they're not, Lord. But Moses came down and got a visual of what was happening. And Moses, this gentle man, threw those hand-graved Ten Commandments and broke them that moment. A gentle man. Can I tell you, just because a person is gentle inside does not mean they're going to be rolled over when it comes to the things of God. Hear what I'm saying. The things of God stirred Moses up. You want to get stirred up for something? Get stirred up for the things of God. This is what we've learned with Moses' life. We find that then he got into the camp and says, you with me, get over here. And then he talked to his brother Aaron again. Aaron was always in the midst of problems. And he says, how did that calf show up? He said, I don't know, we just poured in the fire and it came out of there. Aaron had issues. But he says, grind that calf up. Who? This gentle man of God, the servant of God, said, grind it up and you get those people and have them drink it. Wow. Being bold for the things of God is not wrong, even when you have a gentle spirit. See, gentleness is not weakness, but it's strength and control. Strength when you know. I'm going to tell you, you know, when you sometimes, you know, I give it for instance. I know, like Sister Trina Hesswood, she's got problems with that right hand. And when I go to shake it, I know not to squeeze it very hard because it's going to hurt. So I'll just barely like that. Now you're saying, Pastor, you say you got strength? No, but I got enough strength to hurt her hand. Strength under control. It doesn't mean it's not there. It just needs to know that when I know that this strength needs to be used. Moses knew that what he needed to get upset about, what he needed to get stirred up about, when things did not line up with what God wanted them to be, then that was when he became bold for the Lord. Jesus, when he came to the temple, who? Jesus is that gentle man that we read about, gentle up on the cross of Calvary. But when he came into the temple and seeing God's house being messed up, he turned the tables over and he said, how dare you make my Father's house a place of thieves? How many know? Someone go, and you said he was gentle? He was bold for God. Bold for God in what God was doing. Stephen, he was bold. You know, they called him a blasphemer. You know what he did? He didn't defend himself. They called him a blasphemer. He had the anointing come upon him, and he preached all the way from Moses to the cross. What was he getting upset? He preached the word. His boldness, his strength that was within came out. for God, in God's ways, in God's principles. So much so that it made them so upset that they grabbed the stones. And you know what he said again in his gentle spirit? Father, forgive them. Boldness and gentleness running together is a very powerful and strong thing in our lives. This is that thing. My friend, I'll reflect back to my pastor, Walter Grieser. He may have been gentle, but when it came to preaching, you would think that guy is just loud, or kind of like me, but he, you know, up on the platform, he would preach the Word of God in fire, and I loved his preaching. But when he got off the platform, you would just barely be able to hear what he's saying. He just had such a gentle, soft voice. But one day I had him come to Campo. I had all my old pastors come to Campo and preach for me. And afterwards, we were having something, a dinner with another church in town, and that pastor started messing with Brother Walter Grieser about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And this gentle man, my pastor, oh, I heard his voice rise up. And all of a sudden, he says, you've got it wrong, brother. And I thought, wow, that's my pastor. Go get him. What is it? Gentle for himself and gentle when people came against him. But when it came to the things of God, oh, my word, the anointing came upon him and he stood for what was right. See, Moses had a zeal for God, but gentleness and humility when it came to himself. When it came to things that came against him, he had a gentle spirit back toward those that came against him. But when it came against the things of God, he was a different man. Can I tell you today, the church today needs to learn to speak out with boldness for the things of God. And be gentle with those in the house and also those that are out of the house. We need to learn this in our spirit. So we say that gentleness is a hidden strength in our lives. Every believer should be familiar with gentleness. Every believer. We are told to put it on. Colossians was our Sunday school lesson last week and in our disciple part of it. And the scriptures before that tells to take off stuff. Take off envy and different things in that lesson. And then we're told, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Meekness, which is also speaking of gentleness. We are told this should be part of the wardrobe of the Christian. We should have these things wearing. We should be donning these things in our life, part of our wardrobe of Christ. We are to put them on. Can I tell you, not every one of us was gentle when we came to the Lord. Amen. Some of us still got some rough edges on us. I was thinking back. A long time ago, we had some neighbors move next door to us. It's the mayor of Ruidoso. His name's Lynn Crawford, and he was a good friend next door. But when they moved in the house, I was a big kid. I was about this size when I was 4. But when I went to play with Lynn Crawford, the mayor of Ruidoso, his mother was scared because she didn't know whether I was a nice kid or not. And then she told my mother, that is the most gentle boy I've ever had come into our house. And somewhere along the line of living, that gentleness got out from within. And as a Christian, I am told, put that gentleness back into my spirit, back into my soul, back into my operations. God tells us we are to put gentleness on. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit when He comes in. We are to make sure. Does it make us bite our tongue every now and then? Yes. Does it? Why should we do this? Because we should love that person in front of us. That gentleness should move us. We can't say, well, that's just the way I was raised. There's got to be change in the way we are. And that's what it says, put it on. You know, we are to witness with it. Gentleness is not something that we're just supposed to put on, but we are to witness, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with what? Meekness and fear. I'm to witness with gentleness toward that person. Come on, I know we get upset. Some of the things that we get upset about homosexuals and different things like that. But my friend, can I tell you this morning, God loves them just as much as He loved us. And we should have a gentle spirit when we're sharing Jesus with them. Not, you know, I get some preaching. Preaches is different than one-on-one witnesses. There should be a gentleness about us that they sense that opens a door up that would say, I want what you have. A gentle spirit. The Bible says they're already condemned. We don't need to tell them that. We need to tell them about Jesus in a loving, kind way. We become teachable when we possess it. Psalms 25:9 says, the humble He guides in justice, and the humble, He teaches His way. When we have a gentle spirit, which is also a humble spirit, or a meek spirit, we become teachable before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've been studying this thing for quite some time, and I don't know all of it. And listen, I don't know about you, but also I know some things in here that I need to get right in my life. But if I do not have a humble spirit or a gentle spirit, God is not going to be able to teach me through that. Gentleness is something that we need. Oh, Lord, let it just be part of my life because I still need instruction. I just marked it again the other day that I just finished reading through the Bible again this year. But, you know, that does not mean I don't need it next year. God always feeds me and always exposes Scripture as I study it. That's why I can't figure out why Christians aren't reading the Bible. Hey, it's the Word. It's life. And this is really what we stand on. What's in this Word, we should know what's in this Word. That's a whole different sermon. But it's that Word. When I have that gentle spirit, a humble spirit, God can teach me through my faults. And we all have them. There's not one perfect in the house today. We all have flaws. And if I have that humble, gentle spirit in me, God can work those flaws out of me. Amen? We are told it is the Spirit for restoring fallen saints. I'm not to come to say, listen to what the Word says, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, that doesn't mean the ones that give a message in tongues or interpretation. It's talking, can I tell you, you're more spiritual if the fruits of spirit or the fruits of the Spirit are walking with you every day. That's spirituality. It says, you who are spiritual, listen to what it says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You know, one of the hardest things, I'm going to be honest with you this morning, that's because I'm preaching. One of the hardest things to do is restore a backslidden family member or even a backslidden church member. And it's been my experience, the only way to do it, sometimes we can't even say anything about it, nothing more than just pray, God, you're going to have to do this thing. You know what He usually does? He sends somebody by their way that's got a very gentle spirit that will have a door open to them that He can speak into their lives. God is able to do that. It's not for me to go and I've had people, well, you need to go get them and tell them what they're doing wrong. Hey, listen. I don't. Gentle spirit is what's needed. This is what the Bible tells us. That's why we need gentleness in me, flowing out of me toward other people. We are told our work should be marked with gentleness. In James chapter 3:13, it says this, Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. Everything that we do in Christ should be done with gentleness in our lives. The gentleness that God has asked us to have flowing, that gift that's spoken. And last, because we're running out of time, is that we are promised an inheritance because of it. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. There's an inheritance for the meek. For those that are gentle, those that are kind, God gives that to us. As you can see this morning, the fruit of the Spirit is a super fruit. I don't know how much time I spend looking for a super pill that will heal me from diabetes, heart disease, everything else. Just that one thing. Some super fruit, beets, whatever it may be. I mean, I got it all listed. And so far, I haven't found a cure that's just that super thing. But there are super vegetables, super fruits. I'm going to tell you today, you want a super fruit from the Holy Spirit that will help us in all different ways. It's this fruit that I'm talking about this morning. It's that fruit of gentleness to flow in our life. My friend, it's not weakness. It is strength. Amen? It's strength under control. This gentleness in our spirit that God wants. It will keep us spiritually healthy, and gentleness can be a safeguard to our souls. Because when I have a gentle spirit, I'm less likely to be offended. Gentle spirit. Listen, Christ definitely taught gentleness as an essential for his disciples. Isaiah 42:3, he done it by showing us he will not crush the weakness who Christ read or put out a flickering candle. Can I tell you, I've seen some saints literally go and put out what little amber was left in that person's relationship with God and think they've done something for the Lord. Jesus would say, let's blow some air on it. Let's flame it back up. He would do it in a gentle way that they would once again be revived for God. That's where it needs to be. That's what he came for. And I read it this morning. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle. Who? Christ. He's gentle. He wants his church to be gentle because it is strength under control. But he wants us to be bold for him. Bold for his word. Bold for his things. He practiced it all the way to the day that he went on the cross of Calvary. So remember this morning, gentleness isn't weakness. It's the courage to be patient, forgiving, and kind, even in difficult situations as seen in Jesus' strength. Who for? All of us in everything that we go through. It is one of the most challenging features of Christianity. Stand with me this morning. Gentleness is something that is powerful. Can I tell you this morning, we learn a lot of traits growing up in the culture that we're in or the environment that we grow up in. And sometimes those things are hard to get out of our lives. But I can tell you this morning, with the power of the Holy Spirit and the help of the Holy Spirit, His fruits can be produced in our life. And one of the fruits that I'm told to produce as a Christian is gentleness. Gentleness. Who to? Everybody. How about that one that's just one of my enemies? Gentleness. You know when I can get riled up? When I preach the Word. Or I talk about Jesus. Don't you dare say a bad thing about my Lord. That's all right. They say, I thought that man was gentle. Well, he is until you say that. That's the way we should do things. Now, I know I have messed up. I'm not going to confess. But we've all had those moments in our life that we have not been the gentle person that we should be. Some people are gentle by nature. I can point some of you out right now that are gentle by nature. Others, like me, need some work. I'm not going to point any of them. I'm just saying today, this is something that we have to put on. You know, I was speaking in Sunday school class this morning. We talk about the supernatural. We are saved in a supernatural way. And we change our lives and who we are in a supernatural way. God works in us. These fruits we're talking about are supernatural fruits that can be ours. Just as much as a miracle can be ours, just as much as we can have what we ask God for in the name of Jesus, all those things can be us, part of our lives. We just need to realize I got to have them. I want them. I don't know about you, but I want gentleness in my life. Amen.